Manchester City are still alive here. Balotelli, Aguero!
Here goes Ronaldo!
Cross, and Dempsey's denied again, and Donovan has scored! Oh, can you believe this?
Surging forward with real menace here. Brilliant from Messi. Oh, what a goal that is!
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is Soccer Matters. Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome into the show. Talk about the pregame meal that Tyler Scott and I just had here on Soccer Matters ESPN 97.5. We just knocked back corned beef sandwiches from Kenny and Ziggy's. Is there a cot around here that I can go lay down on?
There's a couch. You might be able to do the show from.
You may want to listen to this show to see if this is a crash and burn here tonight. Oh, my God. What a sandwich. And it's like I got sheep jumping over a fence in my head right now.
It was so delicious, though. Thank you so much for that. That was awesome.
My pleasure. But I'm going to have to. Next time, I'm only going to eat half the sandwich before the show. All right, 713-780-3776 to call in here tonight. We are foodies here. We do it all. Coffee, foodies. We're testing every restaurant in the area here. It's all about the good times tonight. And we do need your opinion tonight on this program, though. And there's a lot to talk about going on in the world of soccer. We've got all the touring international teams over here. I got Jose Mourinho's sound for you tonight. I got tickets to the Dynamo in San Jose. And I'm going to say this again, like I say each and every week. Is there anybody out there that wants to talk seriously about the Dynamo? I've been putting it on the table. You know, whatever you want to talk about. Has Kubo Torres gotten the run he needs to get as a designated player? The Dynamo now, it's 370 minutes without a goal. They've gotten only 4 goals out of the striker position this year. Only one in their last 16 games. You can't win an MLS like that. And this is a league where there, quite frankly, isn't a lot of consequence when it comes to losing. So do you see things changing? Where is it going to change? But I guess what's confusing to all of us from a Dynamo standpoint is, you know, if you're looking at bringing in players now with the current interim coach and you're getting his input, but what if Wade Barrett isn't here then and brings players in? So I think the direction of the club, and next week we're going to get Dynamo president Chris Kennedy and GM Matt Jordan hopefully on the program to really get down to this, because the fan is confused, and we do want to get your thoughts on that tonight. 713-780-3776. You can give us your thoughts on the Dynamo game against Vancouver. Dynamo had clearly the better chances. They hit a post, all that, but you can't say you're unlucky anymore. It's a couple of years we're into this now, and that doesn't work, unfortunately. It's tough. And we can talk about the play in the final third in that game, because I think the Dynamo got into the final third effectively. I think delivery is a problem. Timing of runs is a problem. There are other things there, but it's tough to be that optimistic right now. And we're all trying to wrap our arms around something. So tonight we'll talk to the manager again. He's very candid. Wade Barrett will join us tonight. I've got Taylor Twellman coming on the show, the ESPN analyst. You saw him doing the Euros. Former striker for the New England Revolution. I was thinking of Steve Nichol, the former Liverpool player, was the coach at the Revolution at those times. There's a big Manchester United tour frustration going on. We'll talk more about the Paul Pogba situation. A little bit on Liverpool, sending home Mamadou Sakho, the Frenchman. Jurgen Klopp might not be happy with that one. 713-780-3776. We're streaming at ESPN975.com here tonight. So we see that Gonzalo Higuain has sealed a move to Juventus, leaving Napoli. Juventus, by the way, is still holding on for a big payoff from Pogba. Ziggy Schmidt is out in Major League Soccer. We'll take your thoughts on any of this. At Seattle for 8 years, Ziggy Schmidt is out. Gail Cliche is coming out on tour with Manchester City in Shenzhen, China. And he said that the standards dropped at Manchester City. And that the players subconsciously dropped their levels. This after the appointment of Pep Guardiola. Interesting. It's going to be interesting, Pep versus Jose. Let's start it off tonight, Tyler. Let's run some of this Jose sound. Let's start it off with Jose just, you know, talking about the past at Manchester United.
Well, I think by the motivational point of view, it's very important to forget the past 3 years and to focus on good times. I don't think it's possible for Man United to win so much in the next 20 years than it happened in the past 20 years. I don't think it's possible. Time change. There was a very important evolution in our Premier League, and I think that's very, very difficult. But at the same time, to repeat year after year what happened in the past three, I don't think that's Man United too. So I want to be positive. I want to bring the motivational levels up. I want to bring confidence back. But being intelligent and know that the reality we face in the Premier League is different than 10, 20 years ago.
713-780-3776 is the number. That's Jose Mourinho of Manchester United. Their derby match that was going to be played in China, believe it or not, against Manchester City was canceled. But they then apparently went on to fulfill all their commercial obligations there. And this is a bit of a bump in their preparation for the season. I don't think there's any question. They had a huge party that went over there as a club. Fans were hanging around their hotel. It ended up being a real mess. And, you know, you think about last year with Chelsea and Jose Mourinho and the poor start to that season that they had. Boy, you don't want to get off to a poor start here. They got beat by Borussia Dortmund 4-1 on Friday. They had all kinds of problems getting their players to Beijing then. It has not been good for Manchester United going to China. So we'll see how it goes on. But is it all about Jose versus Pep this year and Manchester United versus Manchester City? Is that what it's about this year? Let's get your thoughts on that, because I think it's a lot more than that. But I think this is how maybe the Premier League is going to be positioned, because this is such, you know, you couldn't make this up, that these guys are going to be working with their teams literally miles apart in the city of Manchester, and that you got two of the greatest managers in the world there. 713-780-3776. 713-780-3776. Rafael, you kick it off tonight. What's on your mind tonight?
Hey, Glenn, how you doing today?
Doing very well, thank you. How are you?
I'm well. I got to hear that interview with Jose earlier this morning, and
Rafael, you got to get it right.
Sorry.
Jose. You don't want to get him mad, you know?
Yeah, hopefully he's not listening right now. And
exactly.
He's, you know, all the way in Manchester sleeping, hopefully. Yeah. I heard it, and I trust him. I'm a Manchester United fan. I've followed it since about 2006, and you just can't live in that. You got to look at the reality. It has changed, and I believe what the last team to win it, other than the top four major ones that us Americans know about, was Blackburn. And you know, when we saw Leicester win it this year, we it kind of opened everybody's eyes that it's possible for everybody to win that Premier League, and it's possible for a team to go from relegation or almost relegation to win the championship. And I trust what he says. It's good to look at the past as something as a motivation, but not as something that's going to make your future. You have to make it yourself, and that's what he has to go by. I'm not judging him by, you know, the countless titles he's made. I want to see what he does this year and this year alone. So I believe what he says. I believe what Jose says.
Well, of course you are, because you're a Manchester United fan, and you want things to change and you want them to get better.
Yeah, no, you're right. You're right. But
everybody's going to trust him now. But let's see where it's at. 6-7 games in. Let's see what happens with the whole Pogba thing.
You're right.
Let's also see if Mourinho can coach what is a proactive team, if in fact that's what fans are expecting. If you're a Manchester United fan out there right now, and I want to put this out there to everybody, Rafael, are you expecting a proactive type of soccer under Jose Mourinho? And does that even matter? Is it just about results? Because, you know, we always hear, Rafael, that Manchester United, it's not just about winning, it's about how you win.
No, it's right. I mean, you want the nail biters. That's what Manchester United's about. I just made my girlfriend watch the Class of 92, and every single game that they showed on that movie, we're coming back. We're coming back from a game. We're coming into the 90th minute. And I told her that's what makes soccer fun. That's what makes it enjoyable. That's what makes people want to go to Manchester United and see. And that was that's what I want to see.
But fun, Rafael is not. First of all, you ought to marry her if she's watching all that soccer with you. Number one, if you haven't already. Number two,
I'm forcing her.
Okay. Number two. If fun is not a word associated generally with Jose Mourinho teams, there are a lot of deep defending teams. I want to see if he can produce a team that can play higher up the field, that can be a bit more proactive. I'm very interested to see if that happens based on the type of players he has.
No, you're right. But I think with the players that we currently have, and hopefully with signing Pogba, which I know the money's going to be crazy, but hopefully with the players that he has now and that he's signing, we get those teams that we're so used to with Manchester United. Maybe he changes. I mean, every coach has a right to change his philosophy.
He has a right to change, but that doesn't mean he's going to be successful.
No, you're very right. You're very right. But
that's as fascinating as it gets, because. Yeah. To see him try and turn this into a team that plays a little bit differently from a proactive standpoint that satisfies that base, if in fact that's being demanded by the board of directors, that's going to be interesting. There's many who just say, look, just get me results and we're going to be happy at Manchester United. But there are some people that want both, and we'll see if that can actually happen. Remember, United ended up fifth in the table under LVG. Outside of the Champions League, and it'll be very interesting.
It gives us a chance to try and win a Euro Cup. Hopefully, we can get that one, the UEFA one,
the Europa League.
Second thing, the Europa League. Second one, I wanted to say, I've watched the last two Dynamo games in full. Usually, I'm pretty busy to try and watch them all. Mm-hmm. Heartbreaking to say one word to describe it. I went to the Dallas game and. I had a lot of fun. It was, I don't know. I went to a couple of games with Owen Coyle in charge, and we were winning. It was exciting, somewhat the first games.
First three games.
It did get boring to say we were lacking any sort of attack. And these past two games, it did seem that we had more of an attack. It just was not finding the back of the net. And I didn't understand why. I don't know if it was just our wingers or our forwards stopping their run, just not in, you know, cycling through or anything. But hitting the post and having so many chances in the box just makes it so heartbreaking. I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know if it's managerial or players or what it is, but something's got to happen in this next year.
Yeah, it's fatiguing to fans. I get it, and it's frustrating, I think, to everybody, including the staff at the club, the players, the manager. I think Wade Barrett is focused very much on the defensive side, and you see big results there defensively. And the next phase of it is the attacking side. But, you know, we still, I think, as a fan base, need to understand, are we in a rebuild here? Are we planning for the future? Are we really attempting to try and get in the playoffs here this year? And nobody's ever going to say we're not attempting to get in the playoffs, but internally you might need to do that and say, look, this is all about fine-tuning, figuring out our salary cap for next year, finding the right players that are going to platform the soccer club, because it's tough. It's tough.
Yeah.
I'm telling you, it's tough.
Yeah,
let's really be fair. The Dynamo have gone out of sight, out of mind quite a bit now.
Yeah. I give props for Coach Wade Barrett to come on your show, I think every other week or every week for, you know, coming on. And it's tough, man. It's tough for what he's going through right now and not getting the right results, but he's still coming on and getting questioned and, you know.
And I'm asking him real questions, and he's going to be on tonight again. And he understands that the reality is real questions have to be asked about this team, why this team isn't scoring goals, why they've only scored one goal out of the striker position in their last 16 games. I mean, there's obvious and unobvious answers to these things. I mean, I think you hit the nail on the head. They got into the final third effectively in the last game, but the delivery wasn't there. The timing of runs wasn't there. Yes, you can say if Boniak's ball that hits the inside of the post goes in, you know, we could be looking at it a little differently today. Yeah, we would with 3 points, but we would still say the Dynamo were not executing in the final third of the field, and that's the next question.
I know there was a handball at the end, or
there was, and it was legitimate.
Yeah, you can't expect the referees to win the game for you. You have to do it yourself.
Not when you haven't made the playoffs for 2 straight years, and this has been going on for a while. You can't look for excuses now. You can't if you put excuses out there as players, staff, anybody, you are not going to get sympathy now, and that's the fact. That's the fact of the matter. You can't get sympathy.
Right.
You can wish that this frustration will be broken, but only the players, the staff, and the organization can do that.
You're right.
All right, Rafael. Thank you very much.
All
right. Appreciate that phone call from Rafael. So we're talking Manchester United. Do you think Jose gets it done for United? And if you're a Manchester United fan, are you okay with just it being a results-oriented criteria and test for Jose Mourinho? Or does he have to bring a style of play to Manchester United? I think it's the latter. Soccer fans, Amigo Energy wants to remind you that you're energy bill. There's a solution to it. Sign up for Amigo Energy. Save money. Basics 24, you'll receive a $50 bill credit for Soccer Matters listeners. Now, if you're moving, call Amigo Energy. If you're up for renewal, call Amigo Energy. Look up Amigo Energy and switch. Amigo Energy is a public utility commission 5-star rated provider. That's right. You're going to get both great rates and great service from Amigo Energy. Don't delay. Go to AmigoEnergy.com/Soccer Matters. Tell them you heard it on Soccer Matters, to sign up for Basics 24 today, or call 888-995-9299, 888-995-9299, www.amigoenergy.com/soccer matters for details on the $50 offer. You want to save money? So do I. Do it. Switch to Amigo Energy. Pair of tickets right now. Seventh caller. Dynamo San Jose this Sunday night at BBVA Compass Stadium. Seventh caller at 713-780-3776. They want to get my boat on the ceiling. I ain't
black, just a matter of time. You're listening to ESPN 97.5. Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5 from the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas. Here's Glenn Davis. Please allow me to introduce myself. I'm a man of wealth and taste. I've been around for a long, long year. Stolen many men's soul and pain. I was around when Jesus Christ. Pleased to meet you.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5. Glenn Davis here. Tyler Scott, producer, is going to Guns N' Roses, and I sure as am going to Guns N' Roses. I'm thinking some of my listeners will be going to Guns N' Roses, too. We got listeners that like all types of music, just like me. But Guns N' Roses, that's going to be a good show. And I know you were looking at the playlist before. What's on that playlist?
Yeah, they had some pretty good... They got Mr. Brownstone on there, always a fan favorite. I really want to see Civil War, though. Civil War and Patience, too. Those are two of my favorite Guns
N' Roses. They were covering some stuff. I mean, what were they doing? They were covering Pink Floyd and...
Yeah, they had a...
Angie by the Stones and...
Yeah, they did a Wish You Were Here. Stuff. I don't know. I'm sure they're going to change it up a lot from city to city. Those were the first two shows that they played in the U.S.
So all the reviews are good, right? That's what I'm hearing.
I think so, yeah.
I mean, you know, Axl's a train wreck, so that's good. But he's a performer. Fred and AJ went. They saw it in Vegas.
Oh, I'm taking the day off that day. I'm going to go tailgate like they used to in the 80s and 90s for big old concerts like that.
Some of us survived that. So anyway, 713-780-3776. That'll be good. We'll have to catch up before that one, Tyler. That's a big show. 713-780-376 is the number to call in now. We're talking Houston Dynamo tonight. Manchester United. I got some sound of Jose Mourinho talking about Wayne Rooney and what he means to Manchester United. But let's go to Adam right now. Adam, what's on your mind?
Hey, Glenn. How's it going?
Good, Adam. How are you?
Very good. Thank you. So Arsenal's on my mind, as usual, and I'm just sort of curious the direction that the club is heading. Clearly, when you look at the bigger clubs in the Premier League, they made tons and tons of very big names, high contact moves. Arsenal year after year, and this year as well, has continued to kind of remain stagnant. With Arsene Wenger being in his last contract year, is this any indication? It seems like the fan base is not very confident with him. It's going to be another 2, 3, 4 in the series. I mean, we couldn't even get, you know, Vardy to come to Arsenal from Leicester. I mean, who would do that? So I'm just kind of curious where it's going and if we're going to get the same mediocre results.
Well, what's, you know, here's the latest Arsenal transfer rumors. They went after Alexander Lacazette from Lyon. The offer was rejected. There's more on Riyad Mahrez, right? They're hoping to secure him. And then with Sam Ben Yedder, they're close to signing him as well. So, I mean, they're trying to make some moves. I mean, I guess everybody who's an Arsenal fan wants a big-time striker. You guys don't seem to be happy with what's there right now. Most of your goals are being scored by Giroud and Alexis Sanchez. Do they get one of these strikers? I don't know. I mean, is Mahrez going to be able to turn down this money? I don't know. N'Golo Kante didn't, and he's gone. But if Mahrez goes, I don't know. There's quotes out there that Mahrez's Leicester City teammate, Damari Gray, said Mahrez is not bothered by Arsenal's interest in him. It's hard to say. Nobody knows. I mean,
right. It's also one of those things. I mean, presumably, at least in my eyes, it seems to be Wenger's likely last year, unless he could pull off magic, being the last year of his contract. And over the last, you know, decade, he has sort of refused to change the playing style of just pass it in the back of the net, this kind of watch paint dry style. Is there a chance he might want to change that up in hopes of just saving his job and bringing some excitement back?
I don't know. I think the excitement would come back in the form of a signing. I think it's sometimes hard for old dogs to learn new tricks. I mean, I'm not sure I have a problem with their style of play if it produces more goal scoring chances and more goals. You know, but listen, if you're the owner of Arsenal, are you really, you're certainly not upset from a financial standpoint. You're in the top four every time. You're grabbing the Champions League money. And maybe the criteria of the fans is very different than the criteria of the owner.
It certainly seems that way. Appreciate you taking the call, man. Always look forward to it.
Appreciate that call. 713-780-3776. What's your thoughts on Arsenal? Think Riyad Mahrez is going to go from Leicester? Why would he go there? He's the focal point and will be the focal point of Leicester, him and Jamie Vardy. Why would he go? He can stay the king at the King Power. I think it's pretty interesting stuff, though. Now, N'Golo Kanté left, but if Mahrez goes too, then I'm a little bit concerned. And Claudio Ranieri has spoken about a number of things when it comes to, you know, kind of defending the fact that they may be losing players. Here was his quote. He said, after the departure of N'Golo Kanté, who, by the way, was unbelievable for them last year, they say he told people to stop crying. He said, quote, now we are crying because we lost Kanté. Ranieri goes on to say, quote, don't worry. Football in Leicester will keep going. Ranieri is urging Riyad Mahrez to stay with the squad despite links to Arsenal. But if Mahrez leaves, Claudio may begin to cry. I don't think there's any question. The Dynamo, again, not conceding goals and not scoring them. 360 minutes without a goal. Only 4 goals from the striker position, all from Will Bruin. Only 1 in the last 16 games. Give me your thoughts on the Dynamo Vancouver. Where do you think this team's going? Ziggy Schmidt got fired today. I'm seeing some of you say the Dynamo should go after him. I don't think it's the right signing for the Dynamo. I think Ziggy Schmidt's got to step away from the game for a while. I don't think he's going to want to be thrust right into this situation here in Houston. But you tell me, what do you think the Dynamo should do in the future? Where should they go? Where do you think they're going? 713-780-3776. Streaming ESPN975.com podcasts. At podcastarena.com and iTunes. Follow me on Twitter, Glenn Davis Sock, and on Facebook, Soccer Matters. And as always, our thanks to our great sponsors, 7-Up, Amigo Energy, Daspit Law Firm, Danish Inspirations, Bar Munich, The Gorgeous Gale, Richmond Arms, The King's Head Pub, and Bud Light. I've got tickets to give away tonight for the Dynamo San Jose. And much more. All right, so let's talk a little bit about Ziggy Schmidt out in Seattle after 8 years. Mutually parting ways, Ziggy Schmidt and Seattle. Remember, Schmidt's the only coach the Sounders have had. It's unbelievable the Sounders have been around for 8 years now. It's pretty incredible. But Seattle is having its worst season. They're just above the Dynamo. Here's a quote. From the Sounders owner, Adrian Hanauer, one of their owners. Ziggy Schmidt has been an invaluable member of Sounders FC since the club's MLS launch, leading our organization to numerous trophies and a consistent winning culture for 7 seasons. Ziggy departs the club with our utmost respect and gratitude for his years of service. Sounders are in 9th place in the West, just a point above the Dynamo through 20 games. Ultimately, the club and Ziggy agreed that a change was needed this time, but Ziggy's legacy will always be a part of our history, Hanauer went on to say. He has my sincere appreciation for all that he committed to our team and community. Ziggy looked to me like a little bit of a beaten down man, which tells you there's real pressure when you got 40,000 people going to all your games. And you got an ownership group that's putting a lot of pressure on you. And there are those elements that we don't have here. And I don't want to sound like I'm beating on anybody, but we are missing some very critical ingredients for our franchise here in Houston to platform like the Pacific Northwest. And we should not believe for a second that we can't be like it is out there. And anybody who doesn't believe it can not draw the attendance and have the buzz in our market like it does out there shouldn't be involved. Now, let me go back to Ziggy. He won the MLS Cup with L.A. in 2002, then Columbus in 2008. That was remarkable when he went to Columbus. Made that a very different team. Alejandro Moreno as a holding center forward, a wide body that held the ball, the final former Dynamo, played a year with the Dynamo. And then Guillermo Barros Schelotto as a number 10 playmaker. And Schelotto, everybody knew that Columbus was going to play through him each and every game. And they got it done. They won an MLS Cup. And as we talk about Ziggy Schmidt, we are talking about one of the most legendary coaches in U.S. soccer history. He's in the top 3. There's no doubt about it. 713-780-3776. Right here in the Galleria area, we go to James. James.
Hey, Glenn, I just wanted to talk about the Dynamo. One, I'm not a Dynamo fan. I just moved into Houston. Mm-hmm. But out of respect to the show, I went to a game and saw the Vancouver game on TV. I think the problem, there's a lot of problems, is that, one, I would say the front office, they have to decide what they want to do, and they want to bring in the beginning player or really get to, the other point I have is their system, their academy, they doesn't have their... He's in the interim coach, being on your show, and I think it's great that he's on the show giving the fan feedback, and he's telling us his philosophies. But I honestly don't think he has a soccer philosophy. And I know it's very hard from him, but what I'm hearing from him as a fan is that he's trying to build out of the back. He's trying to play a certain way. He's trying to dictate a certain way, but he switched formations, and he tried something new, and also the critique with Kubo Torres. I'm not a fan of Kubo Torres, but certainly deserves more time than what he's getting. And by the phrases that he's saying, that he's not sure if he fits into his system of play, into his formation and his style of play. Honestly, I don't think people have their own formations or style of play. I think soccer is bigger than just saying my philosophy, my style of play. I think everyone adapts from everyone else and takes and borrows some. And I think they need to have an identity and stick with it. And academy kids that are 18 that are good enough to play and stick with them, or and deciding whether they develop or they buy, and they have to win because this is a good soccer community. And I just think they're all over the place.
No, I think they are all over the place, and that's why they're trying to pull it all together. Now, look, to their defense, they made it clear at the beginning of the year, the manager and the general manager, Matt Jordan and Owen Coyle, said, look, we're going to be a winger-based team. We're going to play with a playmaker. We're going to try to be more entertaining. They went out. The two big offseason signings were from Philadelphia, Andrew Wenger, a winger, and then Christian Maidana as an attacking midfielder. You can go back on these shows, and you can hear me very, very clearly say that as a center midfielder, he's got one out of the three things I'd like, and that doesn't mean he's not a talented soccer player. But he's a central midfield player that really doesn't run at people and draw free kicks or get into the penalty area or really have that threat. He's also not a guy who shoots. He's not a threat. You know, if he beats a guy 25 yards out, Christian Maidana is not going to shoot. So everybody knows that. And then number three is the beauty of Christian Maidana, that he can do some things that are very unique, and he's an excellent passer of the ball and set piece taker. That system failed with Owen, and that's gone now. It's gone. Maidana is now coming off the bench. He's not playing as a traditional number 10. So it is all over the place. Wade Barrett, to his credit, has organized the team. It's a very good defending team right now. Very good defending team. But it has not been able to marry the attacking side, which is what he's in the midst of trying to do. Now, the Kubo Torres thing to me still is strange. You can't spend $8 million on a player and not play the kid and not give him a chance to prove himself out, because you've played your hand with him. I mean, this was a kid that was going to come and bang in goals and you know, entice the great Mexican soccer fan in our city to come out. Now, there's a reason why he's going to the Olympics with Mexico, and he's not playing for the Houston Dynamo. He's not a bad soccer player. He brings something unique. It's on Kubo Torres for how he came here with the off-field problems and all. So it didn't get off to a good start, and that was bad luck for the Houston Dynamo. I'm going to give them that because, you know, they're building him up. Everybody's excited that he's coming. He scored 22 goals for Chivas. You know, we got a really unique striker coming. But why he never played under Owen Coyle, I don't get it. And then you've got other situations that are different and unique that you have to factor into this when it comes to salary cap. You know, you got a lot of money tied up in a very amazing, legendary U.S. player in DeMarcus Beasley. But tell me who in the history of the league has spent designated player money on a left fullback. It's not happened. You've got a lot of players that have been very inconsistent that are teases to us, produce some wonderful games and wonderful moments, but are not consistent. And I'm really talking about the guys that should be winning games for you. The Giles Barneses, the Will Bruins. I don't know. You can't put Kubo Torres in there because he really hasn't played. I think Minotas is the up-and-coming star of this team. And you switched to a 4-4-2 this past weekend with two strikers. And I can tell you those two strikers were very happy that they had somebody close to them higher up the field. But now you have to say, is the supply in the midfield behind them good enough? It was good enough against Vancouver. Dynamo got into the final third at will out wide, and their delivery was really poor. I mean, the type of delivery that they produced and the timing of things, it wasn't there. So this is a lot of years of a fix you got to make here, and I don't know. It's hard for me to understand now in the transfer window with a coach that's interim. Is he Wade Barrett? And I'm going to ask him this tonight on the show. He's going to be on the show. He's obviously involved in player transactions now. But what if he makes these transactions in the mold of what he sees crystallizing in the future as the manager and he doesn't get the job?
Well, go ahead. I think that's where...
You know, so it's very nebulous. It's nebulous for all of us, I think.
And I agree with that, but I also think to my point is the management team and the run the club have to decide what they want to do.
What my point was is players. They did decide what they wanted to do, and it's failed now under Owen Coyle. So now they're in this place again where they've got to figure it out again.
I would just want to say is that it doesn't seem like they decided what they want to do because they are still all over the place. But I'll give you an example.
Well, look, the guy's been on the job. You got to give this guy a little time. He's, you know, that's why I say not knowing whether he's going to get the job or not. You know, I think the Dynamo are going with him the rest of the year, and they're going to say you either have the job or you don't. But what do you do during the transfer window? Do you put everything on hold right now, which then just sort of delays where you're going to go? But you can't screw it up again. You got to kind of get this right now because it's fatigue now. We've missed the playoffs the last 2 years. It's a league that you should be making the playoffs every year because it's a pretty forgiving league in many ways. And there's not a lot of consequence in losing. But in this case, you know, the Dynamo and the Seattles and the Chicagos, they're in real trouble.
Clint, I just also want to make a comment about the fan base. They're maybe having a tough time drawing more or people coming to the stadium. I think that has a lot to do with people. And I'm not the same Red Bull and New York FC have versus Dynamo. But this weekend there were six or seven kids on the field that grew up playing against each other in state cups and local leagues before the academy started. And some of them were academy graduates. And I think that's able to capture the families and friends of these kids and all these local clubs to come in and see these players. And, yeah, they're there to see Villa and now. But I think Tom McNamara, RJ Allen, Michael Grilla, and Alex Meal, and two other kids are local kids. These are kids that went through your system, played at the State Cup, played academy, and maybe it's time to promote more academy kids that don't want to go to college or good enough to play.
You're right on, and I got a hard break, James, so I got to go. You're right on, but here's the thing. The Dynamo got a little bit of a late start on the academy. They're trying to catch up now. They are, hopefully, I think, should be a team that one day walks out on the field. And when that tunnel, those kids come out of the tunnel, there's three or four local kids on the Houston Dynamo walking out in front of 18, 19, 20, 22,000 people. Speaking of the Dynamo right now, pair of tickets to the Dynamo San Jose right now. Sixth caller, you got them. Dynamo San Jose, 713-780-3776. We will take a quick break here. It's a 7-Up, a Bud Light break. And we thank all our sponsors, Bar Munich, Bud Light, Daspit Law Firm, The Gorgeous Gale. We thank all of you. HoustonDynamo.com as well, 7-Up, Danish Inspirations Contemporary Furniture, and Amigo Energy and Daspit Law Firm. We'll take a break.
ESPN 97.5. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. We had a wonderful summer. We got to see the Copa America Centenario and the European Championships. Great coverage on both of these events. A guy who was over there during the Euros, you saw him a lot, Taylor Twellman, former New England Revolution striker and ESPN analyst. He joins us now. Taylor, how are you?
Good. How are you, Glenn?
I'm doing great. Europe must have been great, huh?
It was one of those trips where coming off the World Cup in Brazil and where that travel was an absolute cluster. France was a breeze. The stadiums, the games, it was, do I think the games could have been better? Yeah, and I'm sure you and I will discuss that. But just the tournament as a whole and, stationed in Paris, everything was a home run.
Yeah, you guys had a nice, I loved that. I know you had to change your set, but you had a really cool set. I thought there was tremendous information and interplay between you and all your analysts. Guys were making great points. Before we get into that, was it a little edgy being over there with everything going on in the world these days?
Yeah, it was. I mean, I'm not going to sit here and lie to you and sugarcoat it. Did I ever feel unsafe, Glenn? No. But I just think with the way the world is and whether you're in Paris or whether you're in, Houston, Texas, or anywhere else in the world, I just think you everyone's on guard. And I think people, particularly, the French people that were there, 7-8 months ago when those terrorist attacks happened, obviously being at the Stade de France where that happened and everything, needless to say, it was at the forefront of everyone's mind. But I'd be lying to you if I said I ever felt unsafe. I just think I was always aware of it, maybe a little cautious.
Taylor Twellman, over 100 goals for the New England Revolution, many times an all-star in Major League Soccer, U.S. International as well, joining us here. All right, so the big story for you during this European Championships was?
Just the fact that 24 teams, I think, diluted the product. I'm actually okay with 24 teams, but I'm not okay with third-place teams going through. When you have four teams that went through to the knockout stage only scoring two goals, Glenn, I don't think it works. And I felt like a lot of the times when you were watching games, there wasn't an initiative to push the envelope. There wasn't an initiative to change the game. There was very little leverage riding on those games. And obviously Portugal is the perfect example. They tied all three games in the group. They got through. And yeah, now, Cristiano missed 14 chances against Iceland and Austria combined. So, okay, part of that's an off day, but Glenn, four teams only scoring two goals, there's something wrong with the formula if you're rewarding anemic play and you're rewarding just barely skating through, or you're rewarding simply saying, well, if you tie all three games, you'll go through.
Yeah, and I'm glad you stuck to that mantra throughout the tournament, because this becomes a big question in all kinds of tournaments globally now, is this expanding to give everybody a piece of the action, but it kind of dilutes the competitiveness of it. Maybe as you've said.
Yeah, in qualifying, Glenn, you and I call, we've called throughout the years, we've called qualifying games for all over the world. The qualifying then is diluted, and then there's no initiative on qualifying. And I think that's the greatest part about the World Cup and the European Championships and the Copa Americas of the world, is there's the qualifying process is so important. So now, there was talk during Euros, they may go to 32 teams and that the World Cup may go to 40. Well, then what are we doing?
Oh, my God.
And I'm not a fan of the NCAA basketball tournament. I'm not a fan of 64 teams getting in, because it's basically saying the regular season means nothing. And what we saw with Leicester City and what we saw with other clubs around the world, I love the fact that soccer, football around the world, it rewards the entire body of work. Well, if you're all of a sudden going to have 24 to 32 teams in Euros, you're going to have 32 to 40 teams in the World Cup. Well, now all of a sudden you're saying, well, guess what? Maybe qualifying, just skate through, and hopefully you get a break. I'm with you. I just feel like it takes away from the whole process instead of just waiting for the tournament every 4 years.
Yeah, and the specialness of it too, and the uniqueness of it. I agree with you 100%. All right, let's switch gears. Big news today, Ziggy Schmidt being relieved in Seattle. Some may have said they saw this coming, obviously. A lot of pressure on him up there. How about your thoughts on that? And do you think, is it possible his coaching career may be over? Maybe he wants to retire now.
It's a great question, the second part. I think first and foremost, it was inevitable. I mean, the performances I've seen from Seattle in 2016 are not indicative of what Ziggy Schmidt has done his entire career. So whatever, you know, the saying coaches are hired to be fired, Glenn, you never want to see anyone lose their job. But the way Seattle particularly performed last weekend in Kansas City, and I think throughout all 2016, it's just been very dull. Very lifeless. I think the sale of Obafemi Martins, while business-wise it may have been the right decision, when you look at this team and the chemistry and the, you know, they just look toothless going forward and all that. I just think you look at it and say, you know what, I'm just not sure Ziggy should have stayed throughout the year. Now the question is, well, is Ziggy going to be up for Atlanta? Is he going to be up for LAFC? Is he going to go back to college? I think it's in Ziggy's best interest. He's something he's never done in his entire career. He'd take a break. Maybe look from the outside and just watch and see what opens up. He's deserved the right to do that. But, Glenn, I tweeted today, and I mean this, what's the players' responses now? Because, okay, coach is fired, but your performance has not been good enough, plain and simple. So now if Schmetzer comes in as the interim coach or they hire someone new before the end of the year, it's still up to the players to perform. I'm curious whether or not this gets a response out of them.
Yeah, that's going to be interesting to see. And, you know, it's kind of the same situation we've had down here with the revolving managers a bit. You know, you always look very closely and are interested to see how people respond and react. And I think down here, I think the fact that we don't have enough real pressure on the Houston Dynamo is something that affects the environment as well. But that's for a whole nother story. Let's go to the All-Star game, which you've played in many times. You're going to be calling this All-Star game. Arsenal's going to be here. This is really a great showcase for MLS, right?
Yes. I think it's always a great opportunity to, you know, I don't care if it's a friendly, I don't care if it's the preseason of Arsenal. It's a great opportunity for players to play and for the fans of football, soccer around the world that may not watch MLS week in and week out. They tune in and you see a great stadium here in San Jose and you get to see some players, both young and old, that have done very well. Now, you and I could probably have a great discussion on whether or not the format needs to change. I think the schedule needs to change. There's absolutely no reason in my mind New York City should be playing Colorado Rapids on Saturday when you've got David Villa, Jermaine Jones, and Andrea Pirlo here. So now they've got to either take a red eye to go back to New York to get to that game. I just think there's still some things that need to be ironed out, but it's hard to argue with the showcase of the sport and Arsenal coming in where, you know, there's a lot of eyes on Arsene Wenger and this Arsenal team coming into the season.
Yeah, it's interesting. And Arsenal fans are still clamoring for another striker. That's another piece that's out there. Taylor Twellman joining us here. He's going to be calling the All-Star game this week. Arsenal to play the Major League Soccer All-Stars. Always a great opportunity for the league to showcase itself. In your opinion, Taylor, if we talk about Major League Soccer this year, across the board, and the fact that the Eastern Conference, the points are down, the West, it's a little bit higher. Is that a surprise to you?
No, it's not a surprise. But Glenn, you're asking a great question, and we don't have an hour, but I'm going to raise this because I know you and I talk about it all the time. And a great example of this is just in my personal life. I left for 6 weeks, went and called the European Championships, came back. You look at the standings. Has anything really happened? And I think the one thing this league needs to find is with 20 teams, with 24 teams, with 28 teams, is you've got to find the tipping point and the pressure. I'm not saying players don't feel pressure, coaches don't feel pressure. You just asked me about Ziggy Schmidt. But I'm talking about the week-in, week-out pressure of moving up the standings, of getting into position. When six of the teams are making the playoffs in each conference, it allows you to just kind of grind through the summer and just get through it. And then as you and I both have had great conversations about, August 15th comes around, the team that's always hot after August 15th always makes a run in the playoffs. It's just history shows it. The Houston Dynamo of the years, the New England Revolution, the LA Galaxy, Portland Timbers of 2015. I just think this league needs to really look at it and say, how can they increase the pressure, the leverage in every game? Because if you're going through May, June, July, and some parts of August where nothing's really on the table, well, then you need to ask yourself, because to be honest with you, how are the Houston Dynamo and Chicago Fire still technically in it?
Yeah.
Because there should be more pressure on them. And I think as this league grows and matures, I think if they figure that out, Glenn, I think this league will improve leaps and bounds on the week-in and week-out training, the quality of play, the pressure on coaches, all of that will make it a better league. So, but right now, I still feel like they're in some growing pains on trying to figure out that pressure.
Yeah, so essentially you're saying, and you and I have talked about this a lot, that there has to be more consequence. And look, the teams that don't get real pressure and media pressure, they got to be seeking ways out to sort of, you know, help create that, help their markets create that, because that's only going to benefit them in the end. So I think you're right on.
Yeah, of course, Glenn. Think about Seattle for that matter. I mean, Seattle is a team that came into MLS and said, we're going to win cups, we're going to win trophies, we're going to do all this. Yeah, but I would argue that, well, they've kind of coasted for the last 9, 10, 11 months, if you look at the end of last year. So I just think pressure is a great thing. What Leicester City did is a great example. And everyone will talk about promotion and relegation. I still think you can create pressure without promotion and relegation, and I think the MLS is trying to figure it out.
Yeah, it's always great having Taylor Twellman on because you can throw anything at him. So now I'm going to switch gears to the Premier League. And is this year going to be all about Jose at Manchester United against Pep at Manchester City?
I don't know, Glenn. What a great question. I think Leicester City winning the EPL has just woken everyone up. And if Manchester United and the Manchester Cities and the Chelseas of the world are worried about the Leicester Cities now, and I believe we will never see a Leicester City do what they did because it woke everyone up. I don't know. I think Jose in Manchester United, I think that hire, a big part of that hire was because Pep is in Manchester City. So I think you got to keep up with the Joneses, so to speak, on that. But it's so difficult for me to say that those are the only two teams we're going to be talking about in the EPL because I find it very difficult to believe, especially with Conte at Chelsea.
Now, I know I don't hear a lot of people talking about the Dynamo. It's kind of flatlined, and I'm being brutally honest here because I think we have to be. Are you surprised that the Dynamo would make such a big investment in Kubo Torres and never really give this guy a real run in the striker position?
No doubt about it.
It's mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, and it's difficult. And Glenn, the only reason why you bring it up is because historically that's what you do. When you spend that kind of money on a player in MLS, you're only allowed 3 to 4 players of that pay stature and of that spot on your roster. Yeah, very surprising. But we also got to be honest. There was off-the-field issues in Mexico, and Kubo Torres, we never really got the end of that story. But I do find it very surprising that when you spend that amount of money to keep Kubo Torres in at Major League Soccer, that we just finally saw him last weekend play with Will Bruin for, the second or third time since he's been in Houston?
Yeah, very rare, and it was the first time this year they went to a two-striker system, too. They've had one goal out of the striker position in their last 16 games. It's unbelievable.
Yeah, when you're not scoring goals, you're not going to make the playoffs, pal. And you're talking to one... So one guy that knows that very well.
Yeah. Well, one guy that scored over 100 goals as well. Taylor, listen, I'll let you get going. I know your driver's outside waiting for you, so it could be Mark Connolly for all I know. I don't know.
Glenn, I'm telling you, if I have one driver in this life of being a TV broadcaster, you are 100% right. It is Mark Connolly, and he's sitting there on a moped waiting.
That would be pretty good. What would it be if we had a choice? Would it be a driver, would it be a chef, or a masseuse? If we only could get one of the three.
Oh, God. A chef, driver, masseuse, it'd be a masseuse.
Yeah. I think so. That would be a good one. All right, last one. Guns N' Roses or Boyz II Men?
Oh, boy.
That's a loaded question, big time.
That's a great question. It depends. Am I hosting dinner at my house, or am I trying to have a great party?
They're going to play in your backyard.
Yeah, Guns N' Roses then. But if I'm hosting a dinner party and I'm cooking and maybe it's a date, then it's Boyz II Men.
Absolutely. All right. Great answer. Good fun. By the way, I like both of those bands, so don't think that was that loaded of a question. All right. Listen, have a great time.
Great to hear your voice, pal.
Yeah, you too. Have a great time. Good work on the Euros. Have a great time at the All-Star Game, and we'll catch up with you soon.
Thanks, Glenn. Keep up the good work, pal.
All right. The one and only Taylor Twellman joining us here, ESPN 97.5. We're going to take a 7-Up break, and we're going to tie that in with a Bud Light break. We're back with more.
ESPN 97.5.
I assumed you knew.
Here we go.
KFNC, Mont Bellevue.